It's the Mike Tech Show, show number 709.
Trick or treat!
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and subscribing to the show. Please visit the main website at miketechshow.com. You can email me questions and suggestions for show topics at miketechshow@gmail.com. You can leave me a voicemail message on Skype. The name is Mike Tech Show, all one word. Follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/miketechshow, and also facebook.com/miketechshow. This show is brought to you by Instant House Call. Remotely support your customers unattended and on demand through firewalls. Try it free by clicking on the link on my website at miketechshow.com. And remember to use the promo code MikeTechShow to get your free 15-day trial. And you can also go to instanthousecall.com directly and download the trial. Want to wish everybody a happy Halloween. It's very rare that my show actually corresponds with a Halloween night. So we're getting in the spirit of things with the intro music you just heard, and certainly the post-show's gonna, and we did a pre-show with some Halloween music. But I have a couple tech horror stories from the trenches to begin the show. Then, go on the happier things, where I'm gonna review the 50 essential free apps that was listed in Maximum PC for November. I have those pages as a PDF. Don't worry. There's just too many to put all the links in. So I have a PDF that you can download that's got everything that I'm going to review and talk about. So you'll like that. Come back for the show notes. Let's start. But we're going to go back a few years, because this story percolates a few years ago. When I got a new client very close by, they had their server in the server room with a company upstairs. And I don't know, some of you probably won't remember, some of you might. My son and I had to bring the server down from the upstairs, and it was a nightmare in that server room, and I didn't call out the company name because I didn't want to. I probably should have, but I didn't want to call out that company name because I have clients in that building. And, well, wait until you hear this. The disgrace of this company and its NetReach Technologies. I can say this because they're out of business. And let me tell you what happened. 5 years ago, we moved the Exchange server down into the office just as an archive, just to hold, because I migrated them to Sherweb, the client. We broke all ties with them. When I was up in that data center, not only was there not enough lights, the wires were just all over the place. There were floor panels missing on the raised floor. To call this a data center was a disgrace. Yesterday, I have to help one of my other clients in the building. This company got hit with ransomware. Now, they sell hosting. They host email for clients. They host servers. Everything was destroyed with ransomware, and none of their backups, either they didn't work to do any restore, or they were also encrypted with ransomware. The company just fired everybody and closed their doors, and they're out of business. So I'm helping my client. His email is up and running. I was more worried about the following. He bought his domain from this company, and of course, their websites are down because all the servers are now off. That floor is now dark on the second floor. By the way, they also own the building. And so I'm probably going to have a couple clients that are going to probably in a few months be looking for another place as they sell it. I don't know if they're going to stay there or not. So I could end up with some big moves from all this. So now I'm helping this. This is a very tiny company, but one-man shop that I'm helping that is they're a neighbor of my bigger client in this building on the first floor. And I need to change the DNS to change the MX records. Well, when I look it up, it was really owned by Wild West Domains. Now, I know they are an official GoDaddy reseller, but this company wasn't. They're not an official registrar, and that's something to keep in mind anytime you buy a domain. Make sure you're buying. You don't just go to GoDaddy and buy the domain. You don't have to buy email and hosting. And just you want to be able to manage your domain and own it to be able to make any of the DNS changes. I call GoDaddy, and the tech support was amazing. And I'm going to share a website for the first link for tonight's show. It's sso.secureserver.net. I'm pretty sure that is. I have it written down. It's a backdoor into managing your DNS directly to GoDaddy if they were an official reseller. Now, because it was purchased by Wild West Domains, his initial login that he got from NetReach actually worked. Now, what we're going to do is once I've got the MX records and we've got the hosting and the website back up, I'm going to migrate all of that directly to GoDaddy so we have better control and we don't have to go through that. But it's just very interesting, and I wanted to share that really that back way in. If you go to viewdns.info, you can look to see where the domain was purchased, and you can follow the breadcrumbs back to try to get your control of the DNS and be able to make changes. Now, I told this story a while ago. My biggest client, when they purchased the company, they never thought of the domain. And the new owner of the company didn't have to worry about it because they bought like 10 years or something for the domain. When we went to make a change, because now we had to make changes to the website and we had to do things with email, we learned we had no control, and the original IT guy that sold the domain passed away. There is a process that you can go through to be able to get control of your domain. He had to make copies of the incorporation papers that he purchased the company, had to have his driver's license. There was forms to fill out. And once we got all of that done, then we were able, it took about 2 weeks, and we were able to get control of the domain. Once we got control of the domain, which was with GoDaddy, then we were able to make the changes. We were able to, I actually migrated them to SureWeb email, and then the websites, there were different web developers, so I was able to point the A records to that. So just a lot of, that was a very interesting story. So now, actually today, I got the phone call yesterday. One of my clients, a friend of his, has a business that got hit with ransomware. I'm hearing a lot of ransomware right now, and knock wood, none of them are my clients, because one of the big things, I do use Malwarebytes Premium because of the anti-ransomware. I also have very good backups deployed with all of my clients. He told me that his friend has exhausted everything, he said, and is going to be rebuilding everything from scratch. I said, have him call me. At least let's have the conversation. Did he go through everything? And one of the things I gave him that I keep in my wallet, I met the head of the FBI cybersecurity from Philadelphia. We met a couple times at different speaking engagements where I was speaking and he was speaking. And one of the things I'll never forget, he told me, he said, Mike, if you ever run into a company that gets hit with ransomware, have them call us, because, you know, call your local FBI office, because they may have the key to decrypt the data, because they've seen it before your client got hit or whoever you know. It's just, it's an avenue that's not talked about, that they are a resource. So keep that in mind. So I had him take a picture of that, of the information, and I said, send that to your friend. Send him, give him my phone number, have him call me, so at least I can go through a list of things to try that maybe weren't tried, and you don't have to start rebuilding everything from scratch. That's horrible. It's just, it really is horrible. And you need to have great firewall at the front. Security is applied in layers. You protect the perimeter, a good firewall. Then you start to work your way in. You keep the firewall on for whatever device, Windows, the software firewall. You have at least Windows Defender and something like Malwarebytes Premium or something good that will block ransomware. You also got Crypto Prevent. There's lots of things to help secure your system to prevent ransomware and attacks. And then, of course, backup, backup, backup. That's our mantra. Before I go into the 50 apps, the essential free apps that I'm going to review tonight, I want to talk about my son, Mike Jr. Over the weekend, they lost their whole, all their internet with Comcast. They lost the internet, the TV, everything. So he called Comcast and they said, wow, we don't see anything. We're going to dispatch a tech tomorrow. And this was Monday. So Monday, everything started working. So he was like, oh, cool. Okay. So he canceled the truck roll for the Comcast tech. Yesterday, I think it was yesterday. Yeah, I think it was yesterday or Tuesday. It went out again. So he now had to call Comcast and he said, okay, come out. So yesterday they come out, they fix the problem outside, and they tell my son squirrels ate through his Comcast line, and they had to replace the line because I think they seen some of the squirrels like still gnawing on it. I was like, I wish I had a picture of this. Squirrels took out the Comcast, and it just, you know, you just never know where it's going to come from, where the problem's going to exist. It reminds me of a story when I was at SmithKline Beecham years ago. I call that my boot camp. And I'll never forget our network team. There was a box in the cube right beside mine, and there was a process that would run every night from this dedicated box. And it was driving my friend Paul crazy. He says, Mike, this fails every night. And it fails about 1 a.m. He says, you know what? I'm going to stay here tonight. And I'm going to see what is happening at 1 a.m. And at 1 a.m., the cleaning crew comes by. The lady needs to plug in her vacuum, unplugs the hardware, the machine, and plugs the vacuum in. And so we learned why it was shutting down every night. And sometimes it's the obscure, it's the weird, it's the that you have to, you just don't know until you view it, you see it. And I like sharing these things because you need to open your mind for the unexpected. to be creative as to what could be causing the problem.
All right.
On to, I guess, happier and more pleasant things. And remember, I'm going to have the PDF for this. And this is courtesy of Maximum PC November. Now, 50 essential apps. These are all free apps, and I'm going to breeze through this quickly, but I'm going to focus on ones that I never heard of and started playing with. So again, some of these apps we've talked about, we've used, they're common, but some you might not have. So for photo editing, a program called Polar, P-O-L-A-R-R. Never heard of that. Now, image editing, GIMP, that I heard of. Now, I'm not into digital editing and any photography. There's digital painting, Krita, K-R-I-T-A, vector art, Inkscape, the app. Now, making music, I've heard of this. Cakewalk is really cool. The next app, I downloaded when I was traveling, and it's the cleanest, simplest, uninhibited word processor, and it's to get the creative juices flowing with no distractions. It's called Focusrite. And when I say clean and lean, you get a screen and you just start typing. Now you can move your cursor up to the top and you have the standard menu. It does have a spell check, but there are no distractions. I decided to write a review for something, and I found myself typing, and the thoughts were flowing just because there was no distraction of, like, Word that has all the menus. Now, I know you can shut them down and shut them off, but this just launches in seconds. You can change. They have supposedly soothing backgrounds. I found some of the backgrounds they call soothing. I call them distracting. But you can find the background that you want, and it's just a piece of paper, and you type. And if you get distracted easily and you need to focus on writing something specific, Focusrite could be it. That was one of the apps that I found in this list that I will continue to use. Game creation. I am not a gamer, and it's Godot, G-O-D-O-T, 3D modeling, program Blender, desktop publishing, Scribus, I'm probably not pronouncing these right, animation, Synfig, S-Y-N-F-I-G. Now, the next app I think is required for everybody, and that's VLC. No matter what the system I have, I have it running on my Fire Stick. I have it on every computer. VLC will just play anything you throw at it, and you don't have to worry about codecs. If you don't have VLC, that to me is a required app on your desktop. I'll give you another one. I don't like iTunes, and I found it very hard to find a music player until I seen this. And I talked about this a while ago, Music Bee, just Music B-E-E. It is phenomenal, and you want to take a look at it, the simplicity, you get the artwork. I had it read my entire library from my Synology server. I like Music Bee for playing music. Library management. Now, this is for a large video collection, a large audio collection, or even a huge photo library, keeping everything easily accessible. And it's called Plex, and that's been around a long time. For transcoding a file, Handbrake. Video editing, Shortcut. That I want to take a look at, because sometimes I need to take a piece of a video and I always have trouble. An example, client has security cameras and the cameras that I'm dealing with, you have to download an hour at a time. And there's no editing if I only want a couple minutes within that hour. And I need something quick and easy just to cut a few minutes, because maybe they seen something being dumped in the parking lot or something happening around their facility, and we need to get just a piece of the video. So I'm always in the lookout for something simple, because I don't want to learn something complicated to edit video. I just want like a couple minutes of something. So this is called Shotcut. So, and that's at shotcut.org. Video grading, DaVinci Resolve. Of course, audio editing. To me, this is the de facto standard. If you're going to edit audio, it's what I record my podcast with. And I paid good money for Adobe Audition and other programs, and I'll take the free Audacity over anything that's out there right now. Now, if you want to get into really high-end recording of music and serious editing, yes, I know there are some great programs out there, and they cost a lot of money. But you want to do simple editing. And not even simple. I do noise reduction. There's lots of things you can do as you explore. To me, Audacity is a great program. Podcasts, Grover, and that you get via the Windows Store. By the way, that's only 18. We have 50 here. Audio streaming, Spotify. Okay. I mean, for, you know, getting your music. Organization, the Renamer. You got lots of files, videos, musics, all from legitimate sources, but there's no consistency in naming or storage. Sort them out without effort using the renamer, which does exactly what you think it does. Bulk rename utility. That I absolutely have to try. You know how you have all of those videos from your camera, and you really want to put some kind of naming that reflects what the event was or where you were or what was happening, and you want to do a bulk rename. I see that as a good utility. If my son Ryan is still there, you definitely want to look at the renamer. For Office, if you can't afford Microsoft Office or you don't want to pay the Microsoft tax for using a word processor or a spreadsheet, you got LibreOffice. I first ran into Libre using Linux years ago, because that would always come with Linux, or it was easy to download. PDF viewer, Foxit reader, email client, and I talked about this, EM client. I just had to use this the other day. Give you an example, and this leads to a story. My client has G Suite. That's that G-Sync program to synchronize his email, his contacts. Well, guess what? If you're using Outlook and you want a profile with another email account that is an Exchange server or a hosted Exchange, you can't do it. And I have the article by Microsoft support, the operation failed, an error when you send email messages in Outlook. The cause, this issue occurs when a Google Apps sync from Microsoft Outlook account and a Microsoft Exchange server account are configured in the same Outlook profile. They cannot live together. So learning that with a client who has to get Exchange email but right now refuses to give up G-Sync, that horrible, horrible synchronization utility that just takes over Outlook, I had to introduce him to the EM client for email, because that actually can connect to Exchange-hosted services. So I use EM client, and that link to the article that I just referenced will be in the show notes. For social networking, Hootsuite. It combines a bunch of social networking into one app. So I think you can post across, you know, multiple platforms. Communicating, France, To Do. I want to look at this Microsoft To Do, and it's, you can get it via the Microsoft Store. I don't know. I'll have to check this out. For virtual private network, we got Proton VPN, remote desktop. We got TeamViewer. Now, these were supposed to be free apps, and I know TeamViewer is free, but it's very hard to use free. You got to pay a lot of money. And a shameless plug here for my sponsor, you know, you're looking, you want a good remote control and remote access, you want Instant House Call here, because you're going to find difficulty where it's not really free for the way you want to use it. Notes, I love this. I replace my Notepad with Notepad++. Planning, we have Trello, T-R-E-L-L-O, and we're going to keep going here. Undeleting, Recover. I use Recover and do a deep scan. That's one of the first things I go to when someone deletes a file and I want to try to recover it. And that's really by the same people who do CCleaner. So Recover. Disk Rescue. I have not used this program. It's called Test Disk. Program 33. Destruction program called Eraser. I've used that. Clearly it does what it says it does, so you've got to be very careful. But if you want to really write ones and zeros to everything on a disk and truly get rid of it, that's Eraser. To copy bulk files, TerraCopy. I used that a long time ago. Multi-commander for easily moving, copying files. I believe that's also based on Midnight Commander, which was based on the original Norton Commander years and years ago. So now I'm really showing my age. Archiving, 7-zip is required, like VLC, like PDF Creator. On every system that I deploy, 7-zip is required. That is the perfect, anything that's compressed that you want to unzip or un7-zip or unrar, all your compression protocols, 7-zip can handle it. It's free, it's easy, and I can't live without it. I use that every day. For previewing, this is XNView MP. This is at the top of my list for taking a look at. This is one of those ones I absolutely want to look at. Now, exploring, we got Tablacus, T-A-B-L-A-C-U-S. Cloud storage, OneDrive. I use OneDrive because I have Office 365 and you get a terabyte. And one thing I like about OneDrive, as much as I want to hate Microsoft and I hate what they do with their updates, and as much as I bash them, OneDrive is good and it's cross-platform. I have an app on my iPad, an app on my iPhone, an app on my Mac, an app, obviously Windows for OneDrive, and I can share my files easily across all platforms. Uninstalling, IOBit Uninstaller. Be careful with this one. In the past, I remember IOBit having lots of malware in there. Make sure you got a good anti-malware program running when you go to open any of these. Even though this is coming from a reliable source, Maximum PC, I don't trust IOBit. So be careful, be forewarned. Backup, you got Cobian backup. Password management, LastPass. Great program, LastPass. We're in the final stretch here. System cleanup. I think that they've been given the all clear now to be able to use CCleaner finally, because they were doing bad things and we had to stop using CCleaner. And I think CCleaner is now back in the good graces with us, with what they were doing with the data, with what they were doing with, I think, malware being built in. There was all kinds of problems over there. But we have sea cleaner here. Bitdefender, the free edition. Be forewarned. A lot of people love Bitdefender. I know. I used to use it. When you want to get rid of it, it will not go away quietly. And even if you bring out the big guns for Revo Uninstaller to try to get rid of it, Bitdefender hangs around and does not want to go away. So when you're installing the free version, you're making a commitment. Now, this is an oldie that I have not tried in years, and this was the standard for getting rid of spyware. Spybot Search and Destroy. I'm going to have to give that a look because I have not used that in years because there were so many other programs that came out that were much better, and Spybot just didn't move ahead with everybody else. Definitely take a look at that. Encryption, Box Cryptor. Now, of course, I use BitLocker, VersaCrypt. There's a bunch of really good encryption programs. AxeCrypt. I've never used Box Cryptor. Program 47, Internet Privacy, the Tor browser. The Tor browser is so you can do anonymous browsing and you can get on the dark web and do things. So the Tor browser, those that know what that is, well, you know what it's for. And then those that don't worry about it. Now, I will put a plug in for the search engine site, which was developed locally here in Pennsylvania. DuckDuckGo is a clean, simple search that does not keep any information on anything that you search or any results that come back to you. So you want to do anonymous searching, you're looking at DuckDuckGo. So I would use a Tor browser and then go to DuckDuckGo. Network monitoring. This is another app that is at the top of my list for wanting to try. And it's Accents NetTools, AXENCE NetTools, a full suite of 10 network tools from monitoring to scanning to tracing routes. There's even a little cheeky internal Windows tomfoolery, all spun off from Accents' pro-level IT management suite. I am going to give that a look, and I'll probably be talking about that down the road. Network troubleshooting, Wireshark, the definitive standard for capturing packets and analyzing what is going on a network. It is required. Anybody that does networking support, Wireshark is required on your laptop when you walk into an office. If there are strange network problems or things, you can plug that in. But again, you need to be able to read the results and interpret the results. So you could spend a lifetime learning that. Now, I've spent a career in networking, so I even have trouble sometimes, but I can find some gems sometimes when there's something crazy going on a network, and it's great to capture everything that's happening on that network. The final program, number 50, TinyWall. It is a software firewall. That is the 50 apps. You'll be able to download the PDF from the show notes, and I will have that available probably by tomorrow night. Depending on what happens tonight, I will try to get that posted up, but I do want to spend some time in the post show here. So you're thinking to yourself, wow, Mike, you did a good job here of stories in the trenches, sharing all these apps. How can I support the Mike Tech Show? Well, I'm glad you asked. Use our Amazon link. And I say our because Carrie Holzman and myself share an Amazon link that is in my show notes. And it's in the show notes for every Tech Vets. Come click on that link. It brings you right to Amazon. Your price stays the same, but do this before you add something to your shopping cart. Once you click on that link, during that session, anything that you put in your shopping cart, when you check out, again, your price is the same, but a small commission comes back to Carrie and I, it makes a big difference. It is a tremendous help, and that's the best way you can support the show and support Carrie and myself. Another way is some of our affiliates, which is Fabs Auto Backup 7 Pro. If you need to transfer data from one system to another, and the data files that are married to certain programs, or how about all those Office templates that sometimes we forget, or you're migrating mail and you want to grab the signature, you want to grab the autocomplete files, Fabs Auto Backup 7 Pro is the definitive program. And especially now where we got to upgrade everybody to Windows 10. So everybody's moving from Windows 7. And what's the best way to do it? Well, we put a new SSD, install Windows 10, take their hard drive out, hook it up externally, and run Fabs. And now we've upgraded them to a solid state drive, a fresh, clean install of Windows 10, and we got all their data. Now, yes, it's a pain. You have to install all their software. It's worth it. That's the best process for going to Windows 10. And that's the best software to help you get there. We also thank Instant House Call for being a sponsor. Give it a try. Kick the tires. Go to instanthousecall.com. Download the trial. Use the promo code MikeTechShow. You get 15 days. You'll love it. That is it for tonight's show. Hope to see everybody back here next week. Same time, same channel. Bye-bye, everybody.
You've been listening to The Mike Tech Show, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit techpodcast.com.